God is faithful in our sufferings, and in the Scripture, we're going to look this week and next week about how to know God's strength when things around us aren't going well at all, and our souls don't feel strong, our faith doesn't feel strong, but God is strong for us in the difficult times. And I remember a dear saint, which most of you all got to meet and know real well, Woody Laufer, faithful, joyful, persevering kind of guy. Couldn't meet a Christian who had more fruit of God's Spirit in his life. When he was in the hospital, and he wouldn't get better after being in the hospital and then home with hospice, he said, you know, the longer you go, the steeper the hill gets. And that was, you know, that's something Woody could say. And he was experiencing God's strength at that time in his life. He was had a contentment. He didn't like what was happening to him, you know, physically, but he knew God's help. And how we want to respond to the Lord that way. Lord, can we know your faithfulness in the midst of suffering? And the question to ask ourselves is, do we see suffering as a normal part of following Jesus? Okay, do we see suffering as a normal part of following Jesus and how our hearts respond? A couple things right off the bat to say about suffering in the people around you or in the world. First of all, if you reach out to people who are suffering and offer some kind of help, you will always have a significant ministry from God. So if you're wondering, what does he have for me to do? Well, if you just look at sometimes just the pew in front of you, the pew behind you, if you reach out to people who are suffering or in pain, you will always be used by God in a significant way. Same goes true for a whole group of people called the church. A church will always have a significant ministry and be used by God if they reach out to hurting people. So that's a decision we make. You know, do we want to be compassionate with the compassion of Christ? We've received much from him. We want to pass that on to him also. So the Lord can use that way. And thirdly, we know that a lot of moves of God in people's lives happen when they are in pain. Most of us who received Christ as Lord did so because there was some kind of pain going on in our lives. We knew the real guilt of sin. We were in trouble and needed a Savior. We were going to hell and knew it. And so in the midst of when people are in pain, they're open for good news. And Jesus didn't come from heaven to a manger, to a cross, to die for a painless world, you know, where we were all, hey, we were doing pretty good. Nothing was too much of a big deal. He died for a suffering world. And he's right in there with us. John Stott said, we are not to see God, picture God in an observation tower. We are to see God on the cross. So we can remember that as Jesus was determined to face his own suffering in a redemptive manner so we could be free. So you and I to look at how to face suffering and turn to know God's faithfulness in the midst of it. It's the Lord can do this for us. He's very sympathetic. A couple things to know right off the bat here. We face all kinds of trials and grief. 1 Peter chapter 1. All kinds of trials and grief. And here's a partial list of what I find looking in the Bible that happened to faithful believers. That was an amen. This happened to faithful believers who knew the Lord. Sometimes happened to Jesus. Number one. Sleepless nights. Did you ever say, well, you know, life is difficult, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it? The disciples, they lost sleep over things when things were difficult. Physical illness was a part of their experience, just like it can happen to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, can happen to you. You and I are susceptible to all the illnesses and physical ailments that somebody who doesn't know Christ are susceptible to. And we should know that, you know, Jesus is still with us. He didn't abandon us. Paul was physically ill. Timothy was physically ill. We face relationship problems. We get there's spiritual warfare that all of a sudden we have when we follow Christ. And people aren't the enemy. Okay, the enemy is a spiritual battle. God wants number one in our hearts. We'll face attacks from unbelievers, attacks from believers, attacks from people in your own family. Peter would say in 1 Peter 4, don't be surprised when those things occur. So, why is this happening to me? It's an opportunity to meet God and His faithfulness. We know the world is a troubled place. We will experience, as Jesus did, unexpected loss of loved ones. His cousin John the Baptist, you know, he's gone, killed. And emotionally, we'll experience loneliness. Paul said, come and visit me. I'm in prison. Rejection. Jesus felt that. Disciples did too. Jesus said, if they call the head of the family the devil, what do you think they're going to call you? So things will be difficult. Grief. Despair. Paul said, I despaired of life. Unfairness, injustice, mistrust, betrayal. Hopefully your week hasn't been the summary of all these things. But at times it will be. The burden of your own sin. Before you weren't bothered by sin. Through Christ now you're really bothered by it. In your own soul or even in the weight of the sin of others. Breaks your heart and causes problems. Anxiety, fear, worry, even for the believer. Paul said the concern for the health of all God's people. Hopefully sometimes you get troubled by because of the state of believers. I want them to be healthy with the Lord. Dying to self, taking up our cross. Jesus was right. In this world, we would have trouble. He even said, every day you're going to have trouble. As he said, every day we'll have enough trouble of its own. So you have God, who's better than the circumstances, and then you have the storm, the trouble. And many times, because of God's faithfulness, this is a part not to miss. God allows believers to experience the following things while they are in the trouble or coming out of the trouble. They experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all because of the faithful presence of the Holy Spirit with them while they're going through the trial. Suddenly God seems more important. Suddenly they're able to surrender some of their own running their own life because the trial is forcing them to take their hands off the wheel. God begins to grow fruit that would come through that hard time. In World War II, England was being attacked by the Nazi regime or just about to be attacked. They were going to hide or fight for their lives, the fight or flight adrenaline syndrome. And Winston Churchill had to give some inspiring speeches. He gave one called Their Finest Hour. They were about to get walloped. And so he said at the end, let us therefore brace ourselves for our duties. Keep your hand to the plow. Even if the nation lasts for 1,000 years, might people say this was their finest hour. This was their finest hour. Don't we say that in a way about Jesus going to the cross? There was the suffering and the pain and rejection and everything that went along with it. And don't we say, you know, that's when he demonstrated his love. That was his finest hour in history. He went to the cross so that he might be raised. And perhaps by the grace of God in your life and my life, when we go through the most difficult, darkest hour of pain and suffering, we might stop and say, you know, in my life, that was one of the Lord's finest hours. He came through for me like I never thought he would. And he started to grow things in my life that just weren't there until I faced that suffering. Now, how good God is that he could do that. And perhaps it would even bless our witness. You know, once we do collapse because of the weight of the trial, which is, would be a normal thing, depending on how heavy the weight is. It doesn't matter how much of a Christian I am. If you put, at this point in my life, 200 pounds on my back, I'm going to fall down. Somebody might even look at your life and say, boy, that's when they really, I saw God in their life the most. Because he carried them right through that time. Well, how can we get ourselves ready to know God's faithfulness in our suffering? Doesn't save us from the storm. He walks us through the storm. Here's a couple things from the scripture that might be helpful to you. First of all, to know suffering is real. The pain is real. Don't deny it or minimize it in your life or in anybody else's life. It was the false prophets in Jeremiah chapter 8 that dressed the wounds of God's people lightly. Conversation with a dear Christian who said, I had a wound in my life. I covered it up for 20 years. And I thought, if I keep it covered, it'll heal. And he took the bandage off to check it, and they said, it's not healed yet. You know, it needed to be surrendered to God in some way. So he could work in that. If you're not in a trial now, maybe it's a trial of the past or a trial you'll face. But the suffering is real. The pain is not an illusion. Pain is a part of God's creation. There are world religions that deny pain or minimize it. Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age. There's a jingle. There once was a New Ager named Neil. He said that pain wasn't real. He sat on a pin, the point did go in, and he said, ouch, that pain I did feel. Yeah, when it hits your life, it will be real. If you deny your pain or somebody else's pain, you may end up denying Jesus' pain on the cross. It was real. It was for love and redemption. And if you do so, you may severely limit your ability to help others who have been hurting. I'm most effective as a Christian in helping people if I remember the times in my life where I really, really needed God's help, which is every day, but you remember those times. And so God, through your terrible time that is bad, is equipping you to help others only by His grace. Peter says, don't be surprised at the painful trial. The pain is real. Secondly, the suffering is limited in its time. It's a momentary trouble. Some of them it seems forever. When you're in pain, every hour seems like 2 days. When you're in physical pain, emotional pain, every hour seems like 3 days. I had a ex-pro football player one time share. He said his family was going through a hard time, and he said, it's tougher mentally than physically. And that's a guy who's used to, you know, physical trials. He says it's tougher mentally than physically, and often it is for us when we go through trials and suffering. Jesus understands that. He created our minds in need of peace. He promises, my peace I can give to you in the worst place. Some of you testify well about that. It's temporary. Beware of a quick fix theology that says let's rush through the pain. The presence of God, the presence of others, and your presence for others can help when pain is there. When Job's friends sat with him in silence, there was some good things going on because he knew he had some friends. When they opened their mouth, it went all downhill from there. You might be able to identify with that. I certainly can. I have to learn that when somebody's in great, great pain, it's no time for a 20-minute sermon. You know, it's time for the presence and the friendship and a short prayer, asking for God's help. Job said in Job 13 to his friends, if you would have been silent, that would have been wisdom. So we can beware of saying, I'll rush through the problem in some manner. And the next one, in the pain of suffering, know the certain presence of God. This is the good news part. The certain presence of God. In Exodus chapter 2, the Lord heard the cry of His people. in Egypt. If you have a loved one and you hear him crying, hopefully you stop everything you go see. I'm gonna be there. You know, they cried out, they groaned. The Lord said, I heard that. God hears you when you cry. He hears your lost friend when they cry. And he says, I'm gonna go and help. You're welcome to join him. He said, I'll remember my covenant promise. These people belong to me. I will go to be with them. And God joins them to bring his strength, his peace, and his faithfulness. Isaiah 63 says, in all our distress, God was distressed too. I think the Lord, you know, without making God to be like a human being, but Jesus was fully human. I think the Lord hurts more than us when we hurt. Because don't you hurt for your loved ones more sometimes when they're in pain? God hurts for you more than you hurt for you. He's willing to intervene with his presence, his friendship. He's for you in it. Next week I'll share how one verse in the Bible, God in one verse says five times, he will not leave us to face that alone. That's very powerful. Never, not ever. So we're glad for his faithfulness. And then one way to say, okay, Lord, there'll be trials of yesterday or today or the future. First of all, would you please let me know if my heart is getting larger or smaller because of this trial? When Jesus went to the cross, it was a full expression of his love. You know, and it really takes the Lord's help to say, my heart's going to get larger because of the suffering of life or of being a Christian. I don't want it to get smaller. I'll just protect me because I don't want to go through pain anymore. That's very normal, but larger. Because if you are a vessel of God, you'll know his healing better. People who go through, Dale being here, part of the ministry Dale Matthews is called to and others, they actually ask him to help other folks who have gone through major surgeries like that. And when they do that, they know the faithfulness of God. To surrender to God as Jesus did in the trial. In Gethsemane, Jesus said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to face this pain. But he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. To surrender to God might mean, as we learned on Tuesday with a bunch of pastors, it might mean that you're battling God in your suffering. God, I'm fighting against you in this. I'm upset with you, angry with you. To not battle God, to say, Lord, I do surrender. I don't want to battle you in this pain. I want to meet you in this pain and know your faithfulness. And God is gracious. To be able to sing quietly the words of the song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. He really is that friend that we need. You know, he gladly bore our griefs and sorrows in addition to our sin. What a Savior. Just to give him all the honor for being like he is. And we're going to close in a short silent prayer time. Maybe things the Lord brings to your mind and you really need his help in some trial of the past or present trial. First, that God would show himself faithful to you. And second, that you would say, Lord, produce some good fruit in me because of this. I don't want all this pain to be a waste. It's one thing to have pain, a terrible thing, but to have it be a waste. Lord, make it redemptive and help me to trust you in it. Let's pray together before we sing a great song of God's faithful help. Jesus, you didn't avoid the cross. You went. And the suffering we face in life, Lord, if we've lived past the age of 7, we would probably say sometimes it's like an avalanche. But we have the fortress of Jesus. If we turn to him, hide in him, Say, this is my way through the suffering. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would minister and bring healing to each one. Probably not a one here that doesn't face some significant trial, either presently or on the horizon. So hear our silent prayers. Lord, if we're angry with You about something, help us to come and talk to You about it in these silent moments. Say, Lord, I'm in pain. Will You help me? Will You be faithful? Could you silently pray to God? Ask Him for help. If the Lord leads you to pray for others too, that's a blessing. If you're in despair and your faith is getting weak, perhaps it's about how family life is or your own walk with the Lord or your things on the job, can you say, Lord, I'm losing my faith. Come and grow my faith with Your Word. Help me be responsive to Your faithfulness. Pray to the Lord about any weak faith you may have. And pray, ask the Lord that His faithfulness and presence would overwhelm you when no answers come to suffering and problems. There are many a person go to heaven and never have a resolution of why they had to face the terrible trial they did. And there is no shame in that limitation. But to say, I will trust God even though I don't see His face, I can't even trace His hand, but I trust Him. Ask the Lord for that friendship between Him and you. And then finally, ask the Lord that you'd be a faithful helper of others, because the world, as much as you're hurting, people who don't know the Lord, they're hurting worse in a lot of ways. And we are surrounded by a world filled with pain. So might the comfort, strength, friendship of the Holy Spirit work through you to others. Would you pray that God would send you for the sake of the good news? Lord, give us that trust in Yourself. We do pray for the peace that You would give in the midst of trouble, and even a joy in our hearts, knowing that Jesus is Lord of every moment and we're constantly under His watch care. Bless each one, Lord, with a real sense of Your solid friendship. And might they say, that was a fine hour with the Lord that He came through for me in that trial. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.